The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
We're back with the Answer of the Week, starring me, Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter. And I got this friend. You guys know him. You love him. His name is Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe.
Yeah.
Tell him about your Twitter handle.
My Twitter handle is at JoePatrick116.
116. When he's actually using that and not the Two-Headed Nerd Twitter handle to tweet about Dancing with the Stars, which my wife's in the other room watching right now, he's saying all kinds of cool comic book
hashtag stuff. Team Bindi.
But he also posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there. You can answer them. It's a great time. I wish more of you would join. There's a lot of great discussion there and good people. Or you can send us your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. It's a Ziggurat hotline, and you can answer the question. But please keep your answer under 2 minutes. We got to share the air with everybody. Before we can get into your answers, I need Joe Patrick to reset the question.
Okay, this week's question came from D. Murray. He's House Wayne on the forums.
God bless that guy.
He's got the Flipping Tables Over podcast or YouTube channel.
Podcast.
Is it still a podcast? I think it's a YouTube channel.
Oh, really? He expanded? Man,
I think it's always been a YouTube channel.
Our YouTube channel sucks.
That's because our love slaves will not produce their videos. That's
true. Little jerks.
Anyway, this week's question was from D, who asked, what is your favorite fictional element? We're talking a serum, a drug of some kind, yeah, an ingredient, a building block of what makes a comic book thing.
Element or concoction, we decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get right into it.
It doesn't matter if we're that specific because nobody else can answer the question anyway.
It's true. Let's start right off. Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
Sup, nerds. Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here. And my favorite fictional element is easily Colossus's organic steel. That's it. Like, what is it? I don't know what the hell it is, but it looks awesome. That's it. Organic steel. Living steel? Okay, great. And there's no explanation about it, and it doesn't matter because it looks awesome. Pharaoh Lad from the Legion of Superheroes had the similar power. He would armor up, right? But he would just turn gray. And that sucks. Colossus, when he armors up, he's all shiny, he's all liney, and he's got, like, cool-looking knuckles.
Nice rhyme.
And, like, for a time, his costume was literally a pair of boots, some underpants, and bracelets. And that's okay, because he looks freaking awesome because of his organic steel. That's it. Thanks.
That answer's great. That answer
is totally great.
Well, what is it? Because he's right. Like, he's got like all these lines on
but
him.
It's not something that makes something else.
No, but I mean, like, it is.
It's like a part of his body.
But it is like an element. It's something else. It's like steel that bends and moves with
it. It's not an element because you can't, like, find it in the wild. There is not like a deposit of the stuff that Colossus turns into out in nature. No, it's not a thing.
I agree, but he does turn into some thing.
It's his person.
I'm counting it. And I love it. And I've never
I'm going to be feisty about it.
I've never even really thought about it, but he's right. Like, doesn't matter what it is. It's awesome. It's some type of bendy steel, I guess.
It's steel. They say it every chance they get. It's steel? Organic steel.
But it doesn't behave like steel. It, like, his facial expressions can change.
That's what makes it organic.
So because comics is what you're saying.
I think you can go to Whole Foods and get organic steel,
it's
but
true.
Only when it's in season.
Organic single source steel. Yes. It's GMO free.
Free range. Thank you, Anthony.
That was great, Anthony. I love that answer. Sorry, Joe was such a jerk about it.
Jeez. I'm going to be salty tonight.
Oi there. First time, long time. No, actually, sorry, nerds. It's just me, Black Scorpion.
Wait a minute.
Too soon.
My pick for today is Miraclo. It's the Hour of Power drug invented by our man himself, Rex Tyler. You can feel free to correct me on this, but I think it's really the one that started them all. I mean that literally in the case of the DC Universe. Everyone that might list Venom should know that it derived from Miraclo. But Miraclo also predates Captain America's Super Soldier Serum by a year. I think what I like about Miraclo is how the drug was treated in comics through time. It began as this wondrous and empowering drug. It was the whiz-bang solution that would solve crime. And then it got treated as the super addiction. James Robinson, when he followed up with Our Man in the Golden Age, he told the tale of an aging Our Man that can no longer get the hit that he wanted off of Miraclo, and the guy worried about becoming an addict. That's my choice. Till next time, make mine James Robinson.
Love that answer. Love that answer. Our Man Miraclo.
You know, this is apropos of nothing, and it's not a criticism in any way, but for some reason, in my mind, I always pronounced it Miraclo, like miraculous.
Okay, I always said Miraclo because I was like, miracle.
But Miraclo is probably more accurate.
Yeah, and you always had trouble reading, so.
Uh-huh. I read at a genius level, my friend.
Hey, don't judge him, you guys. He's just like the rest of us, but Joe has to try a little harder, okay? He's got a lot of heart.
I love Miraclo, and I love that they didn't shy away from the idea in some stories that it took a real toll and that it was addictive,
yeah,
or it could be addictive.
Well, it makes perfect sense. Of course it's addictive. It's like a drug that you take that makes you a totally badass hero. Yeah, of course it's addictive.
Well, but I mean, it's not addictive just in the sense that, like, you can't get enough of that rush. No, it's like literally.
Well, but I mean, like the heroing,
addictive.
But the heroing is the rush too. I think it's like I always thought.
I would say it's both. It's probably
right?
both.
Right. Like if cocaine made me superhumanly strong, guess what? I'm a huge coke addict, and your ass is kicked.
Yeah.
Right?
What's your excuse now?
Now I'm just a guy that likes to party. Yeah. Let's go to the. Don't use drugs, kids. All right. You heard it here
first. Stay in school.
That's right. Users are losers. You heard it here first. Thank you very much for your call.
Always tobacco is wacko.
Oh, if you're a teen. Only if
you're a teen.
After that, smoke all you want. Thank you for your call, Black Scorpion the Third. Don't smoke. Smoking's disgusting, you guys. Seriously. I abhor smoking. That's why I vaporize weed. Let's go to the Google voice line for our first call. I believe this is a friend of ours.
Carl Smith.
From across the river. Carl Smith.
Hey guys, Carl. Hey, my favorite substance or element that was invented for comic books was in a comic book I had as a kid, and I've never seen it since, as far as where the story is. I'll have to run across it one of these days. But there was an old Donald Duck comic book where he was mixing up something in his lab. There's a bunch of Disney comic books where Donald Duck is goofing around as a laboratory rat, which is kind of funny. But anyway, he mixes something up, and there's a mistake. And everything blows up on him, and it makes this weird, like, if I remember right, it was like a pink blob. It looked like bubble gum. And he doesn't remember the recipe because it was a mistake and things spilled and so on.
What can he do?
But it, like, cures asthma. It tastes delicious. you're able to build, like, indestructible things with it. And there's, like, all sorts of applications for it. Pretty much anything that people come to try to do with it, it can do it. You know, it's sort of like this mystical flubber, but with all sorts of applications. And people want to buy it from him and everything, but as it turns out, he can't sell it or anything because he doesn't want to remake it. And there's just a little bit. And I always thought that was like a hilarious comic as a kid. So anyway, that was my favorite. It was either that or the stuff they make Marvel's X-Men women's clothes out of that make them not fall off with their giant cleavage windows and so on. But I'll let someone else answer that one.
You know what?
Later.
We'll probably get to that.
Yeah. The WWE actually uses that on the Divas now, and it works very well. It's great. You know,
it's called double stick tape.
You know who I miss, Joe?
Who's that?
Camarillo Brillo.
Look, he's a writer. He's trying to get his name out
what
there.
What happened to
no
Camarillo Brillo? This is BS. Carl Smith is fine. I feel like Camarillo was saucy. He was sexy. He was dangerous, you know? Don't get me wrong. I like Carl Smith. I always feel good when Carl Smith calls. I love that the element that he named three things that it does. Cures asthma, tastes delicious, and it's super strong.
Yeah, I love it.
That sounds dope.
There was another duck story. I think this one was more Donald-centric than Scrooge-centric that I had. I think it was also a Carl Bark story where they go on this adventure and they find this substance, this element in the Arctic, I think, or somewhere where it's very cold. And it's like this additive. And every time they lick it, it tastes like a different flavor.
That sounds like acid.
Like an ice cream flavor. Sorry.
Like LSD.
Right. This tastes blue. This tastes like purple.
This tastes like your feelings.
That always stuck with me. And they it was this quest to find this element that they were going to strike it rich with this thing that could replicate any flavor and be used in food production.
So is that your answer?
It's not my answer. It's just funny that Carl came up with another example of something like that. Also from the duck books.
I think that happened to the ducks a lot.
Yeah. That was really the only duck story I had as a kid. I didn't really get into Disney comics too much as a kid.
I didn't either. It wasn't,
I was an Archie man.
Yeah. I was not an Archie man, but it was till I was a little more mature than you. So I was reading Daredevil and stuff, but anyway,
look, I read all that stuff too, buddy.
Let's go to D. Murray. He came up with this question. Let's see what he's got. And Carl, I love you too. I just miss Camarillo. He was so much sexier.
I like you just the way you are, buddy.
How's it going, guys? D here answering a question a week. And this week is my question.
He's so excited.
Did it. I don't know how this happened. I'm happy, though. I should have like some birthday music going on.
It's not celebration that hard, pal. Music.
Celebrate good time. Come on.
All right.
Well, don't know why I just did that. But I was going to say Senzu Bean as my answer. You know, the magical little bean from Dragon Ball Z. You pop into your mouth after you get into a big battle or you get hurt. Your body's 100%. You're right as rain. And you're able to do whatever the hell you please. But my answer is going to be the blue and green pill from Born Legacy. And the reason why I'm choosing this, I know it's more of a drug, but I told myself that drug falls in the spectrum of potion. And I know how much you guys love semantics. So mow that one over for a bit.
We kind of, buddy.
But yeah, that's my answer. The blue and green pill from Born Legacy. The blue pill gives you heightened intelligence. The green pill heightens your strength. So your physical prowess. So yeah, who wouldn't want that? Wouldn't become a vigilante because that'd be too much hassle in my eyes. But yeah, man, I'll go everyday life, climbing mountains and whatnot while reading books at the same time. That'd be cool. I'd dig it. Take it easy.
I love the answer, and I loved the Bourne Legacy. I loved all.
Wait
the
a
Bourne
minute,
movies.
Is the Bourne Legacy the Jeremy Renner one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I never saw it.
It's like the other group that they had that they were working on while the stuff from the Bourne movies that we were watching was taking place.
You're right. Like they turned the camera slightly to the left, and yeah. You find out that Jeremy Renner was there the whole time,
and it was really cool. One of my only problems with like the blue and green pills, like they didn't explain it at all. It's like you had this. How come they didn't give it to Matt Damon?
That's kind of like D. He didn't really explain it that well either.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really well explained. It's a cool idea, but they just kind of went, oh, yeah, and we've got this for you, you know.
Well, so what was the deal? One pill made you physically...
Yeah, I can't remember.
Gave you physical prowess and the other one gave you mental prowess?
Yeah, I can't remember which was which, but they took them both and one made you a little stronger and the other made like... The other one was like Adderall, like your brain fired even faster and you could...
Sounds like Limitless,
more.
Bro.
Kind of, but this was pre-Limitless.
I don't know. Bourne Legacy, I don't think it's...
I think that was pre-Limitless, because the books were already written. I don't know if Limitless was a book.
The Bourne Legacy based on one of the books?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There's like 26 Bourne books, and I guess
fair
that's
enough.
Great.
All I know is that Matt's coming back to do another one, and I'm totally, totally into it.
Yeah, I loved all the Bourne movies. They were fantastic. The Renner
one. I got to see that last one.
The Renner one was great. I really liked it. It was so cool because they were like, the whole thing was like Jason Bourne's on the run and they're like, oh, this is going to pop up in front of Congress, kill all these other experimental guys that we had. It's really cool. So they just, like, while they were trying to stop Matthew Bourne from being exposed, they had this whole other, like, next generation of spies that were, they had messed with their heads and genetically messed with them and stuff. And they were just like, all right, murder them all. We don't want to go to prison for this. It was,
well, wait
awesome.
A minute. Jeremy Renner's character is not actually named Bourne, right?
No, he is based off Jason Bourne's prowess and how well they did with him and improved even more, but through drastic, like, they messed with his DNA. They had him on all these different drugs. Like, he was jacked.
So maybe that's why they didn't give it to Matt Damon, was because that this was just like the experimental wing.
Yeah, like super experimental stuff. Like, even darker than what they were doing to Matthew Bourne. It was awesome. So good.
Jason Bourne. You keep saying Matthew Bourne, which is what's confusing me.
Jason Bourne.
Matt Damon as Jason Bourne.
Matt Damon. Matt Bourne.
Jason Damon. Matthew Bourne.
Who's up next? I'll let you guys guess who it is. You'll figure it out pretty quick.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week.
The man needs no introduction.
This week, you asked about favorite fictional elements. Well, guys, I had to do my research on this one, but I came up with carbonadium. It's a form of adamantium that was developed in the USSR and used by the villain Omega Red.
Yeah.
These retractable metal tentacles are composed of a radioactive metal alloy. Carbonadium is nearly as strong as adamantium, but more flexible. It's also been used in Moon Knight's armor suit lately. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is called Adamantium from X-Men Origins Wolverine. See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
Randy, your levels were so good there. They're better than any that I ever get when I have Joe and I talking over music. That was perfect, man. You sounded great, and I'm super proud of you. Love the answer, too. Carbonadium. I always wondered.
It's just a shame that they squander carbonadium on making weird death wieners.
Yeah, like what
and then
exactly
attach them to dudes' arms.
We knew that. Okay, and maybe this is a whole different discussion, but we knew that Omega Red has his, like, mutant death effect or whatever it is.
He secretes a spore.
A spore.
It has nothing to do with the tentacles. The tentacles are cybernetic.
The tentacles just grab you. That's all they do?
Yeah, yeah. His body secretes like an illness-causing spore or something.
So the tentacles are grab you, pull you close, so I can spore all over you.
Yeah, let me get over here so I can spore on you.
I'm going to spore in your face. I'm going to spore in your hair. Oh,
no, don't spore in my hair.
Gross.
Oh.
So disrespectful. Don't let anybody spore all over you. I'll tell you
that.
What.
Is the most disgusting little aside we have ever taken.
Anyone who says that sporing all over you is sexy, they're lying. They're demeaning you. It's gross. All right? Don't do it.
It's a power thing, really.
It
and
really is.
You're better than that.
You really are. It's a safe for work podcast, folks.
Yep, totally.
Jim Kettner, he hits us again.
Look, his emails are so sweet.
They are. He writes these, like, gushing emails. Like, I blush while I read them. Thank you, Jim. You are such a sweetheart. I need you to do me a favor. Tell a million of your friends how good this show is, okay? And he's playing Fugazi. Come on.
Hey, Joe and Matt.
It's even made like a Fugazi
calling
loop.
In again with
that
another
is so
answer
cool.
Of the week. Now, as a gigantic Thor nerd, it was really, really tough for me to not answer with my favorite mystical metal, Uru. Boy, that just sounds cool.
It is cool.
But when it comes to amazing substances within the Marvel Universe, even the Asgardians have got to give it up to none other than Reed Richards and what is perhaps his greatest
Kettner.
Invention ever.
Don't steal
That's
my
right.
answer.
I'm talking about
stable
molecules.
Son of a bitch!
Without which, not only the Thing, but Johnny Storm and half of the flammable, polymorphing, energy-projecting populace of the entire Marvel Universe would be running around the city with their naughty bits hanging out. Now, for those that don't know, Unstable molecules are a substance that comprise the FF and other heroes' costumes, so the fabric adapts to the wearer's unique powers. So that comes in handy whenever Johnny needs to flame on. It also comes in handy for shutting up fanboys and their annoying questions about,
ugh, why don't his pants burn off? That doesn't make any sense.
In fact, that has got to be the real reason they were created. So yeah, unstable molecules, a total in-universe no prize. Look, I know I'm a new caller, but I promise that in the future, not all of my answers will feature comments about nude members of the Fantastic Four. At least I think I promise. If you'd like to hear more geek ramblings from me and some of my buddies, please tune into the Galacticus podcast on iTunes and check out my comics and illustrations at ketnerd.com. Thanks, friends.
Very nice.
Calm down.
I love the answer. He stole yours.
He totally did. He stole my answer. And I think it's also the answer to Carl's question about the X-ladies.
Unstable molecules.
Because it's a small superhero community. They're all friends, right?
Yeah, they share, right? Reed.
I have definitely read scenes where Reed Richards is helping out the other members of the superheroic community by providing them with material. He did it for... it happened in the New Warriors specifically. There was a character named Silhouette who could teleport through shadows. But the problem was every time she teleported, her clothes were left behind.
Whoops.
Her clothes. And also she walked on braces on those crutches.
She did.
Yeah. Cause she had been shot through the spine. And so she had partial paralysis.
I'm not going to make fun of her then.
Yeah. And so like everything that she
those
was
other
holding,
people that walk
her,
with braces.
Her clothes, her braces, everything were left behind. And so Reed hooked her up with some special equipment and a bunch of outfits so that she could like fight crime at a moment's notice and go into battle in full costume and not worry about getting buck naked.
Did he set her up with like some sensible wear too? Like some business casual stuff, some like,
yeah, like normal clothes and a superhero
night outfit. Out with the girls, you know, or like, ooh, date night, snares up a little bit.
I mean, there was probably a limit and Reed's not a fashion designer. But
I mean, he knows Janet. He could call Janet Van Dyne up and be like,
it's
hey,
true. It's true.
This poor girl.
That's a great answer, Jim. It was my answer.
That is a great answer.
Now I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Nicely done, Jim. Let's go back to the Google voice line.
I think we got Jeff Hitt.
Might be. Looks like it.
Hey, listeners. This is Jeff Hitt calling with an answer for the question of the week.
3 weeks in a row. Love this guy.
What is your favorite made-up thingy, be it element, medicine, concoction, whatever it might be that's made up that doesn't really exist? And so my favorite made-up kind of thingy is the unstable molecule.
Damn it!
For Fantastic Four and every other hero worth of salt. I mean, who wouldn't want something that could make a costume that could turn invisible or catch on fire or stretch or any other random ass thing you need to do for a plot device. So it's kind of like the ultimate MacGuffin for costumes. They're, you know, it doesn't really matter what you need to have happen in the story. The unstable molecules could do it. What I love most about it is if you really kind of put your brain to it, really this should fix like pretty much every problem of like construction and homelessness and like prosthetic limb. And I mean, if you can invent something that can withstand extreme heat, that can turn invisible, that can, you know, stress, that can, gosh, I think it's probably done, you know, things for like, you know, really hard and, you know, sharp things too. Why can't you be like making like, you know, like replacement limbs or, you know, like organs? I mean, it just, it doesn't make sense. And so it's what I love about it is it's just so like it requires you to be okay with the fact that this is just a comic book and we're not trying to solve all of life's problems. We're just trying to come up with the closest thing to a plausible answer for how, you know, Sue Storm's clothes don't just run around when she's invisible. So, yeah, that's it. That's my answer. Hope you guys like it and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
So according to Jeff Hitt, Reed Richards is a total asshole for not using the unstable molecules to solve a lot of issues.
I think like this, the boilerplate character response, like for any genius character, is something to the effect of like, they don't want it to fall into the wrong hands.
Right.
You know, like, Tony, why aren't you like providing armor suits to like the NYPD or whatever? Like, not even full Iron Man. It doesn't have to be full Iron Man armor.
Can you imagine if Walmart got a hold of this? I mean,
just body armor, dude. Body armor.
Yeah. Think of the soldiers. God, you asshole.
Yeah. And Jeff is 100% right. It's just an invention so that you can make it okay in your brain.
Right.
That these things work. As for, you know, comic book super science, if you have them solving all the world's problems, then all of a sudden the world they live in is completely unrelatable.
Right.
And what fun is that?
Exactly. I'm with him. It's a good answer.
I love the answer.
I love the two people in a row stole your answer. Love that.
Yeah. Real dickwads.
I don't believe in fate, but man, that's hilarious. Let's move along, shall we? Let's move up north to the snowy wilds of Maine, where the orca is preparing for winter.
Okay, I was originally going to go with pixie dust, an obvious metaphor for cocaine. The kids see that ain't there. They quote-unquote fly. They have fantastic adventures, but wake up in their beds. And they wish they could do it more, but alas, they grow up.
So straight up Peter Pan,
pretty
right?
Clear to me, we're talking about nose candy. But I'm sure other listeners will be saying that one. So to quote Joe and Matt's pillow talk, let's go deeper. What if there's an alien virus in the form of a dust cloud unleashed over the skies of New York just after the Second World War? And what if that virus affected everyone differently? Let's say that it kills most people, and others it just mutates and disfigures into horrible monsters.
Oh, I know what this is.
And how about for a very lucky 1% or so, it gives them superpowers? That would be a very interesting premise. Now, how about we get a bunch of sci-fi authors, fantasy authors, comic authors, authors of all genres, to take a crack at writing a short story in prose form for an anthology about what this would do to the real world? Then let's find the most sadistic, f***ed up, but talented guy on the planet to edit it. Let's allow these stories to be as perverse and as whacked out as they want to be. None of this all ages bullshit. How would superpowered beings really fit in the real world? Is that a good hook? Well, it sure as hell got the orca, and boy, I'm glad it did. See, I went years without knowing that this existed. But a whopping 22 books, with another on the way, are out there. I'm talking about George R.R. Martin's Wild Cards universe.
Oh.
These ain't your daddy's superhero tales. This is the real deal. All due to a gas or dust cloud or whatever from outer space. That cloud's my favorite element. And props to Mr. Murray for one of the tougher questions we've had in recent weeks. Well done. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Occasional guest host David DeMarco loves the Wild Card universe.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge fan. And the orca is 100% right. Some of these books, like, stray into erotic fan fiction territory.
Oh, really?
Like, they are not okay.
Really?
Yeah, but some of them are straight up, like, sci-fi or superhero adventure stories.
And others are just, like, straight
right. And so they're not all written by George R.R. Martin. It is like an anthology is really the best word to describe it. It's a rotating set of creators. It's all a one shared universe.
Well, and honestly, his Game of Thrones goes like straight into the erotic world too. Big time. Like no one has a conversation in Game of Thrones. You ever notice that? Whenever everyone is having like a normal conversation, they're railing somebody, you know, like talking to their friend who's also railing someone or getting railed.
know? So, yeah, I think the substance, it's a virus. The wild card's a virus.
I think
that's
right. I think it was like a virus.
And so these people, there are different classifications based on what happens to them. Like people that were hideously deformed are called jokers. People that get abilities that are like useless are called deuces.
It's kind of like the Terrigen Mists.
Yeah, kind of.
Like you don't know what's going to happen when you get exposed to it. You could die, you could turn into Black Bolt, or you could turn into a lump of like burping flesh.
Then they have the aces. And the aces are, it's just what it sounds like. Those are people that were exposed that retained their normal appearance, but they also have just like top shelf superpowers.
They're like the Inhuman royal family, basically.
So aces are people that were exposed to the virus that didn't get deformed or killed. And they also may or may not have what we would consider superheroic abilities like flight or, you know, super strength or the ability to shapeshift or whatever. And that's why it was called wild cards, because they had these different classifications based on playing card suits.
And you don't know what's going to happen. Wild card.
And you don't know what's going to happen.
Wild card, exactly. Bitches.
It's a super fun idea. I've read some of the wild cards comics. They're fun. It's a great answer.
It's only a matter of time before it's an HBO series you watch. Let's go to Tim Benson.
I'm stunned that they haven't tried it already.
I guarantee Tim Benson is talking. You know what? Let's let him do it. But I think I know what it is.
Let's hope for the best, right?
Let's hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Calling in for favorite, not artifacts, potion. I don't know. I don't know what the question is, but I think I'm going to answer it. The rules this time. So I obviously well known that I love Usagi Yojimbo, Stan Sakai, and he tells amazing stories throughout this, you know, massive saga. And every once in a while he stops and he does these one or two issue things where he highlights an element of Japanese culture or village life, whether it's, you know, how to make pots or how rice, you know, comes to be. They're historical, they're awesome, and they tell this story of a villager's life. And the single greatest of all of these is the tea ceremony in Usagi Yojimbo number 93, where Usagi Yojimbo and Tomo perform the tea ceremony, and it's just a really powerful and personal story of this main character and his, what should be in a fair world, his wife or partner. But you know, life's not fair, it sucks, right? But yeah, so the tea, I guess, is my favorite thing because it was in this issue, and yep, I think I stayed in the rules. Thanks.
Nope.
Tim, all you had to do was say the toxic waste that gave Daredevil his powers. That's all you had to do, and we'd be
whatever
fine with
Billy
that.
Club is made out of. Like,
the tea ceremony is a real thing. We're looking for a fictional element, buddy.
Like kryptonite.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you know what? You just gotta let Tim be Tim.
Yep.
I'm tired of fighting him.
Yeah, we can't stop him. Tim is Tim. He's a force to be reckoned with. He calls in every week. I appreciate it. Tim?
I had to explain to him why his answer didn't count last week.
Four for four, man.
Because you don't understand the difference between an alternate universe and the actual question, which was time travel.
Yeah, fictional. Tea ceremonies, real. They actually happen. I've been in one. Like, they're real. Thank you for your call, Tim, and keep up the good work, buddy.
Entertaining as always, but that was not the answer to the question we were looking for.
Okay.
But Usagi Yojimbo is a great series and you should all be reading it.
Love it. It is wonderful. You should all be reading it. Let's go to Kevin Coffey, our man at the World Herald, entertainment reporter, covering Taylor Swift concerts, so we don't have to go. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
What's up, two-headed nerd? It's Kevin Coffey calling in to talk about one of my favorite metals, and I thought about a whole bunch of different things, including stuff like Mithril from Middle-earth, which I think is really cool, but I decided to kind of limit it to comics. And I love all the different weird fake metals that are in the Marvel Comics universe, though Here's my problem with adamantium and vibranium. Everybody's got some. Everyone's been through Weapon X at least once in the Marvel Universe. Even though the Wakandans are the only ones that can get vibranium and mine it, everybody's got some. It seems like it's just all over the place and everyone's got access to it. Like, you know, Magneto's probably got a set of adamantium steak knives he made from Wolverine's bones. And then Wolverine got more adamantium later. So that leads me to my favorite fictional metal, which is Uru. It's the stuff that Mjolnir is made out of, and all these different Asgardian weapons. It sort of is like stone, it's sort of like steel, but not really. It can harness magic. It basically can do whatever it is the writer wants it to do, which makes it kind of cool and fun. You can just screw around with it and do whatever. It also, you know, has to be wrought into something in a star or other crazy things. It's just insane kind of metal, and no one can really get it except as the Asgardians, and it's pretty awesome. So that is my favorite fictional element. Thanks, fellas.
I love Uru metal. I love it.
Super fun.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, like Tony Stark touched on it a little bit when Matt Fraction was writing Iron Man and Tony Stark went to Asgard during Fear Itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were smithing weapons. And he was like, why can't we do this on Earth? Like, why can't we just like do this with this Uru metal stuff on Earth? And they were like, well, it's magic, you dip. The like foul mouthed dwarf that he was working with was like, why do you think it's magic, you idiot?
I love that Kevin touches on something that I always think of when I think about Uru, is that it's sort of metal and it's sort of stone.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I kind of really love that about it.
And Tony Stark like touched on that. He was like, this doesn't have all the properties of a metal. And they were like, shut up. It was like, this acts so weird. It was great.
That's good. A answer, Kevin.
Great answer. So now it's Two's time, right?
Yeah, Two's time.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here's to hoping that it's Toots time. Don't get me wrong. I love hearing from my man, Jared, but I'm hoping Wooly Toots calls in.
Before I answer the question here, let's address an issue. It seems some listeners want me to be their little grinder organ monkey with my little pillbox hat and red bellhop suit. Dance, little monkey. Do your little flip-a-doos for me. Well, here's what I got to say to that. If I want to start screaming, Rootin' Tootin' Toots time! Again, I'll do it because I enjoy it and I want to.
Wow.
All right?
Man, having fans is rough.
I don't want to let the listeners down. I'm one of you. We stand shoulder to shoulder.
Akimbo, if you will.
So maybe it'll come back.
That's not what Akimbo means.
Maybe it'll change.
Yeah, like side by side.
Who knows? Thanks for appreciating me, everybody. Now, to answer the question, I'm going to go with Mithril.
Saw that coming.
What is known as Grey Gleam. That mystical element used to make armor in The Lord of the Rings, Dungeons and Dragons, Worlds of Warcraft, and the Elder Scrolls. Such kick-ass stuff. The super fantasy nerd in me and D&D player and Pathfinder player cannot deny the beauty and value of Mithril armor. But you know what? I sure hope somebody calls in with Feminum, because that is my number two answer and it's totally badass.
I don't even know what that is.
Bye, guys.
No, you don't. Thanks just get to hang up and not tell us what Feminum
so
is.
So loved.
What the crap is Feminum? I don't even know.
Akimbo means flung out widely or haphazardly.
What?
Like legs akimbo.
With arms akimbo? Doesn't that mean
that? Yeah,
like
flung out widely or haphazardly. Like you're flailing everywhere.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't mean side by side.
Oh, okay. I thought it meant side by side. I don't know.
Another definition is hands on the hips and elbows turned outward.
That's akimbo?
Yeah, but nobody uses it that way.
How is that flailing around?
There's two different nations.
All right.
I just told you both of them. Right. Nobody uses that other
one. We're way off here. Mithril's an awesome answer. I was really
feeling the toots time in that call.
I was too. It was good. But Mithril, it's a great answer.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love Mithril. I don't know.
Maybe he can lay it on us about the other one.
Yeah, feminimium or whatever the hell he said it was.
I don't even know how to Google it. I don't even know how to spell it to look
I'm
it up.
I'm kind of afraid to. I don't know what's going to come up. like, oh, weird. Like obstetrics type, you know, stuff.
Comes right.
No. Thank you for your call, Mr. Toots. You got to understand. We love Toots time. Some of us live for it and we just want to hear it. That's all. You don't want to do it? Don't do it. That's fine. We're still going to air your call, but you have fans, sir.
It tasted a little sweeter, I won't lie.
You have fans. That's all I'm saying. It's a good problem to have.
Look, man, we don't got time for this. We don't got time to be kissing Toots' ass.
Let's just take a second to talk about Jacob Flaxington. He was a new caller.
Jacob, first time caller last week.
From across the pond. I'm not exactly sure how time or days work. Like, he might be behind the international week line or something. I don't know. But he called us Sunday.
No, Matt.
No, yesterday.
Yesterday, which was Tuesday.
Okay, that's unacceptable, Jacob. Here's the deal. When we say Friday, we mean Friday. I'm going to play your call because I don't want to appear, racist to our British audience. So I'm going to play it. But this is your only warning. First and only warning. Take it away, Mr. Flack.
The deadline is the deadline. Pay attention.
Hello, THN. It's me, Jacob Flaxington, a.k.a. British delinquent, in the Canterbury countryside. Now, the question of the week was, what is your favourite comic book concoction? Well, I had a number in my head. I had the Oz formula. I had the super pills. And I even had Mongoose Blood from Top 10.
Oh, yeah.
But the answer I decided to go with is the Super Soldier Serum, specifically in the Ultimate Universe, because the Super Soldier Serum produces many different variants and produces varying effects, trying to copy the effects that the original one had. So, for example, one of the superheroes one of the secret projects they find is the man that can copy everyone's abilities. He like grows to a giant size. He's gasping, he's replicating all the Ultimate's powers, and he's just going towards Steven Rogers, and saying, oh, I just wanted to be just like you, and they experimented on me and did all this weird shit to me. Anyway, that's my answer to question of the week. And by the way, Chris the British guy can still have his title. I'll just be Jacob the English guy. Like, leave him some space to come back in, because I really did like the messages he left, so just give him some time to come back. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
It's not how this works, Jacob.
I am single, and it's a hat, single. Not a headband. Thanks,
he's
guys.
He's single, it's a hat, not a headband. Jacob, that's not how this works. You are Jacob the British guy, and Chris is still alive.
He's already has a nickname. It's Jacob the British Delinquent.
Jacob the British Delinquent.
And that's fine with me. Chris, the British guy, did check in this week. He sent us an email.
Okay, good. He's alive.
I don't know that he heard us talking about him because he doesn't mention it.
Okay. I'm just glad he's alive.
But he did check in, and so we know he's okay.
That's good.
Chris, the British guy, lives, and he's still listening.
Jacob goes with the ultimate super soldier serum.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad he made that distinction because it was way different.
Yeah.
And it had a bunch of different effects. I think it was the same stuff that turned Bruce Banner into the Hulk.
Right. Like in the Ultimate U, it did a bunch of different stuff. And they never really lost it either.
Right. Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's a great answer. It was our final answer, which means it's time for us to pick our favorite call.
Yeah, time to single one out. Yeah. Make the rest cry.
My favorite call, I think. Yeah, it's got to go to Kettner and Jeff Hitt because they both went with Unstable Molecules and stole yours. And they were back to back. That was just too good. Although I really like Cameron Labrillo's because whatever Donald Duck made cures asthma tastes delicious and is super strong. But
yeah, I love that one.
I'm going with the tag team of Mr. Kettner and Mr. Jeff hit with unstable molecules back to back. Boom. And I love unstable molecules. Because it's another one of those things where it's like, because comics, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
They just do whatever the rules need them to do. I love it.
And you know, as much as I love, I loved all the callers this week because aside from Jim and Jeff who had the same answer, they were all unique.
Yeah.
And most of them were not obvious. Yeah. Nobody said adamantium. Nobody said kryptonite.
I did really like Anthony's Colossus of Steel call. I really like that.
But I'm giving my favorite to the Orca because wild cards is such a weird, obscure thing that hardly ever comes up, which is strange considering George R.R. Martin's extreme popularity.
Right.
Like wild cards almost never comes up.
It's true.
And it's such a fun idea. I
and
love it.
Yeah. And it's huge. It sold a shitload of books. All right, Joe Patrick, I want your answer.
All right. So I very quickly had to switch gears and I guess I didn't have to because I'm not insecure like you are.
But you did have your answer ripped out from under you though.
Yeah, it's true. I chose to pick a new answer. And it's a very close second. It is a backup that I had ready to go. And that is Spider-Man's web fluid.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
It's such a ubiquitous part of Spider-Man's being. It's the sort of thing like, do you remember when they put out the Marvel cards in the early 90s? The original like Marvel Universe trading cards?
Yeah, absolutely.
They had one like subsection of the first set that was for famous things like Wolverine's claws,
right.
Captain America's shield, whatever. Spider-Man's web shooters and his webs were one of them. So it's such like an iconic part of Marvel lore. And it's just this weird little goop that we're supposed to believe that some 15-year-old kid invented in his attic.
Sure. And like 3M. Wouldn't be like, okay, you're a billionaire.
They addressed that in the comics. Right. They addressed that in the comics. 3M rejected it because it only lasts an hour.
Give me a break.
Which I know is nonsense, but it's sort of the unstable molecules.
Right? It is. Like, it absolutely is. Where they had to like,
you have to at least answer the question. Why isn't Peter Parker a gazillionaire?
Right. And they're like,
it's because he tried to patent it and sell it and nobody wanted it.
They were like, no way, dude.
But if you don't think that there is an industrial commercial use for a super powerful adhesive that wears off,
yeah,
you are crazy.
I can tell you that industrial use, it's called war. Right? Yeah. You know, like then you can end war.
They did this in House of M where he supplied the NYPD everyone with web shooters.
My answer goes to Black Panther's heart-shaped root. I love the heart-shaped root. Because it's poisonous to anyone that is not in the royal family that eats it. No explanation needed. Like if you
like, why aren't there 1,000 Black Panthers running around?
Right. Because you're not in the royal family. Obviously you eat it, you die. But when the Black Panther ate it, it gave him a mystical connection to the Wakandan panther god. So it's kind of like acid, but it also like gave him superhumanly acute senses and it increased his speed and his strength and his reflexes. And he's not like Captain America strong, but he's way stronger than the average guy because of it. You know what I mean?
Yes, he is. He is very close to Captain America in terms of ability.
Right. But it didn't lift him to like Wolverine's tracking abilities or Captain America's strength, but it got him a little better. And more importantly,
as occasional guest host Dave DeMarco is super fond of pointing out, technically speaking, the Black Panther has no superhuman abilities.
See, I don't buy that. I would say
the heart-shaped herb just maximized his normal human potential in a very similar way to the super soldier serum. He does not have superhuman powers. Check the handbook. It's true.
Yeah, he can't like pick up a car or something like that. I mean, I'll give you that. Whereas Cap can.
But I don't think he's got any superhuman. I don't think he's got any like unusual tracking ability.
According to Marvel Wiki,
Black Panther tracking stuff has not really been a part of his character that I've noticed.
This is according to the Marvel Wiki. The herb granted him superhumanly acute senses and increased his strength, speed, stamina, and reflexes and agility to Olympic levels.
Olympic levels, not superhuman
right.
So, levels.
So yeah, that's still human. So like the Olympians that can track people really well, I guess. I don't know.
And this is where it gets into like one of my favorite semantic arguments. Is it a superpower if it is something that normal humans can do?
But it goes on to say his senses are so powerful he can pick up a prey scent and memorize tens of thousands of individual other scents. So that's pretty intense.
I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
I think that whatever was established in the original handbook has long since been contradicted.
Yeah, because like he wanders through like the cemetery in Wakanda and speaks to all these other like panthers.
Yeah, how about that? It allows him to commune with the dead.
Yeah, which not like I don't care how much you work out, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
Like, oh man, I was wailing on my pecs and my grandma showed up and she's been dead for 40 years, you know? This was so much fun. This was such a great question.
I love this question.
D, this was like one of the best questions we've had. Thank you. I had a great time. Thank you to everybody that called in. Again, this is your show. We want to hear from more of you, more first-time callers. Jacob Flaxington, we give you a little bit of slack because you're a second-time caller. Not going to happen again. You got to hit us before Friday. Joe Patrick's going to tell you the new question right now and give you your deadline.
By the time you hear this, it's probably too late.
It's true.
Because we're recording really late.
What is the question?
The question came from Joe Benkis, casual comics guy, who asked, so the theme of this week's question is least likely to succeed, but did. We're talking characters that when you hear the pitch, they seem so unrelatable, non-commercial, incomprehensible, lame even. And yet somehow they still made a name for themselves. Now to answer Elise's question on the forums, they don't have to be like a comic book superstar or anything.
No.
If they're still around today, totally counts. But I think we're limiting it to comic book characters.
Yes, comic books only. You want to hear pitch for the character that was so ridiculous that there's no business they should still be around, but they are. And
Joe's example is Ant-Man, who of course is the star of his own very successful motion picture.
And we want you to pitch it. Pitch it before you tell us who it is so we can try and guess who it is you're talking about. It'll be fun.
So I got this guy and he shrinks down real small and he right. runs around and he can talk to bugs. And but when he's small, he's still as strong as he would be if he were normal sized.
Yeah, like your neighbor.
He's still as strong as your chubby dad.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait for it. We've got another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast coming this weekend. Get to the forums, answer this question, call us, email us. Our rogue Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to do so. He's a complete prick. He's been trying to murder us for weeks now. It's just become a fact of life here in the Ziggurat. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd. Signing off!
Don't worry, nerds. I'm playing nice this week. You will hear no griping from Alec Baldwin 2.0. Not anymore. I've realized there's no outsmarting you two idiots. Pardon me. I meant brilliant unpaid podcasters. Your parents must be so terribly f***ing proud. Not to mention your wives. You poor pathetic. Oh, there I go again, losing my train of thought. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username Two-Headed Nerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Now I'll get busy with the work of posting this piece of show. And then, the business of your deaths.
Raining night in a quiet town in Florida.
Sleep well.